Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The Lord as his shepherd. Now, this security isn't plucked out from thin air. It's a statement that comes from a deep well of David's own history with the Lord. It also comes out of a deep well of his people's history with the Lord. So there's a connection in this text to Exodus. And we can conclude that David seems to be saying that because of God's character as revealed in the Exodus story, as well as what God's done in his own life, God will provide everything he needs. He's seen it before. He's got evidence of this. He knows how the story ends because he has this revelation as the Lord, as his shepherd. Good? Yes? You're with me? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, the Lord as a shepherd knew how to make David rest when he needed it. And the Lord needs to make us rest sometimes when we need it, yes? The sheep doesn't always know what it needs and what is best for itself, and it needs help from the shepherd. The shepherd also has the knowledge about all the right places, the safe places for the sheep to rest. I'm going to throw up a quote by Philip Keller, and he wrote a book about Psalm 23 and sheep. And it says this, there it is. Sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they're afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. Finally, if sheep are anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. Isn't that incredible? It tells us a lot about our good shepherd and all he's doing and dealt with to create an expansive place for us to rest. Yes? And this alone shows us how much we can trust the Lord, that he has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. Anyone feeling encouraged so far? This helping anyone? Good. Okay. He restores my soul. Restores. You know, in this scripture, it refers to the retrieving, because the sheep would often wander off, yes, but also the reviving of the sheep. And it speaks to a deep renewal that comes from the Lord in any condition. It doesn't matter the condition, the Lord restores our souls. You know, soul, the word usually refers to mind, will, and emotions. Yeah. But here, the word soul in Hebrew encompasses body, soul, spirit. So it's our whole selves. And so it's a full restoration. And this is really important for us to understand. And when I was preparing, God brought my mind to homeostasis. It's a psychology term. And I'm going to just explain it really briefly. If I get anything wrong, please come and let me know. I've been out of the field for a while, so you can Google it more when you get home. But homeostasis is simply the ability to maintain a stable and balanced internal state, both physically and mentally. Yeah, so it encompasses all of us. It allows us to function well as humans, yeah? So say we're living a relatively, stress-free life, you know? You would say we're in homeostasis. We're stable, we're managing everything really well. When stress, pain, trauma, life happens, we move out of homeostasis, mentally and physically. And we need to find a way back. Yeah? So now if we're constantly, if you can imagine, constantly in a difficult state, or we're there for a long period of time, thing after thing, it means we haven't felt safe and stable for a while. our bodies and our minds might be completely disconnected. You know, our minds might be able to move on out of pure necessity, out of pure survival. But for our bodies, they hold a lot of unresolved stress and pain and trauma. You know, there's this book, there's this great book, The Body Keeps a Score, which explains this a lot more. And here, this is why it's so amazing. And this is why we need to dig deep, even when it becomes familiar. Because here the Lord is saying, not only will I restore your mind, will, emotions, yes? But our whole selves, our bodies as well. Everything integrated back. Full restoration. Isn't that amazing? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God would lead us. He'll lead us because we need his guidance. You know, when we're struggling with which way to live our lives after making a decision to follow Jesus, we can often become stuck in this place because we are stuck in our own ways. Yeah, it happens. But he leads us in paths of righteousness because he can't help it. That's his character. That's the only one way he can lead us. It's up to us if we surrender our lives to his lordship and allow him to lead us. And God demonstrates his goodness in his character towards David so that the world may see and understand who God is for his name's sake. Yeah, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, he's trying to build in all of us a quiet, consistent trust. And he enables us to go through difficult situations. While he doesn't create any of those difficult situations, there's an aspect of his presence and character that we can only experience in specific contexts. And one of these is the valley of the shadow of death. You know, going back to David and the connection to Exodus, his fear dissipates because his good shepherd is also the strong king who defeated Pharaoh, the one who thought, you know, people thought was invincible. Yeah? It's not that there's nothing to fear or that the presence of evil disappears, but that the shepherd's presence makes the fear of evil flee. I'm going to say that again. It's not that there's nothing to fear or the presence of evil disappears, but that the shepherd's presence makes the fear of evil flee. So when we see our fear through the filter of the lordship of Jesus, the fear bows down to his name. David says, I will not fear, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what's interesting about this is that the posture of the Lord for the beginning of the psalm has been ahead. If you look at the psalm, it's leading, he's leading, he's guiding. But here he changes his posture. In the valley of the shadow of death, David creates this picture of a shepherd who is now alongside the sheep to accompany them. And he's armed with a rod and he's armed with a staff, yes? A staff to protect his sheep and a rod to control the movement of the sheep. It provides comfort for us as these people that a lot of the time, we don't really know what we're doing. I don't know, is it just me? We don't really know where we're going, yes? We also need correction from time to time. Thank God for the Lord's correction. Yes, I need it. We all need it. And there's safety also in the correction that the Lord gives us. So this is a picture that he's describing here. Okay, so we're describing who is the Lord and the journey that he takes us on. Yes? And then it says this, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And I feel like this is one of the most glazed over verses, yes, that we read. Anyway, for me. David paints us another beautiful picture here. God uses three things, a table, oil, and a cup to communicate how he sustains us. For David, he had real enemies. We know King Saul was jealous. He got jealous of David and was trying to kill David. He was outwardly out there saying, I'm going to kill David. And then his own son, he was pursued by his own son, Absalom, right? He had real enemies. And so when we think of the table, it isn't just about a meal, but it's what that meal gives us. It's nourishment, it builds intimacy, and gives us a fresh strength. Not only that, but isn't it crazy that God says, okay, David, you have all these real enemies. People actually want to kill you. And I'm going to put a table right in the middle of your enemies. He sets a table, he hosts us, and he invites us to this table in the middle of our enemies. So here lies a subtle shift. What are we focused on when we read this psalm or when we're really going through hard things? God preparing a table for us or our enemies or our circumstances? What are we defining our circumstances by? The Lord sitting across the table from us or our circumstances themselves? You know, God hosts and invites us to a table that he positions in the middle of our enemies. The Lord is sitting across from us, and it's a beautiful picture of lordship. That we are in a beautiful space of communion, of safety, of nourishment, even in the midst of really harsh, troubling and painful circumstances. We can also see this as a way that the Lord prepares us for victory in him. The host care doesn't remove the presence of the enemies. Now, he could do that, but enables us to experience God's goodness even in their midst. Yeah? What is that forming in us? What is that telling us? Yeah? It's really, really important. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You know, we know oil was used in the Old Testament to commission prophets and priests and kings, and they were anointed with oil because God had given them a particular assignment. And so oil reminds us that God sustains us by giving us new purpose. But it's also the cup of oil poured over our head, yeah? And so it's a reminder that in our Lord there is overflow. My cup overflows. It's a result of the lordship of Jesus in our lives. The fact that it's over our head also signifies that there's an overflow of God's Spirit over our thought life. Who knows when we're dealing with difficult circumstances that it's mind over matter, that we need to tackle this. Yeah, it's a big part. What is anxiety? When we really think about anxiety, it's about potential things that could happen. Is it reality? No. It hasn't happened yet. How many times have I can just speak for myself. How many times have I built up in my head, like, you know, a 10-part scenario that could happen from something? Did any of it ever happen? No. So the cup, he anoints our head with oil. He anoints our thought life, yeah, with his word, with his Holy Spirit. And that is available to us as we walk under the lordship of Jesus. Okay, we're almost there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. At this stage, it's beautiful because this is a surety for David. He's not saying, oh yeah, perhaps. He's like, surely, surely. He has experienced the goodness and the mercy of God. He has that evidence from his lived experience. He knows for sure that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life. And it says this. This is how the psalm ends. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm ends with the calmest assurance that he would enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. You know, as we sang today, that last song, forever. Forever we will sing, both on our days on this earth and beyond. And we were designed to live in this way, living in the reality of God's presence for all our days. And so this is how lordship works. It's not restrictive or controlling it in any way, but it does require our surrender. And the evidence of the Lordship of Jesus in our lives is at the point of our surrender. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You know, a couple of years back, Pastor Dave and our family, we had the worst 6 to 10 months, I'll say, as a family. You know, my husband Dave, after a family holiday, he became really sick. And it was, you know, he was diagnosed as pneumonia. But he was in hospital 3 times. And his coughing was so severe that he broke a rib. My brother-in-law Milton was present to see that one. And so, you might not know my husband Dave and I, but we love to laugh. We're always laughing at something. And for ages, during those 6 to 10 months or whatever it was, I had to be so cautious not to make him laugh because it would create a severe coughing fit and it would end up in pain for him. And we didn't know when it would end. We would talk about like, oh man, maybe one day you'll be able to laugh and you won't cough. Like it felt like it was going on forever. He was later diagnosed with severe asthma. At this same time, a little bit later on, we ended up in hospital with Alexis on 3 to 4 occasions as well. And she was in extreme stomach pain. This was like, you know, middle of the night, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, heading out to the hospital, her crying. The same time, my car broke down and I had to replace my engine or buy a new car. We had water damage in our house, in the kids' rooms actually, because there was a broken roof tile and it created mold. So we had to pay for someone to come in and clean out the mold. And Dave's car, also his clutch and other things wrecked. And we're looking at our bank account going, Lord, how is this going to work? And then throw on top everything that happened with our church leadership. In 2024, it was a baptism by fire for sure. But through it all, you know, there was a quiet trust in us. It didn't mean that we didn't complain, because God knows I would be lying right here in front of you. I did complain. And it didn't mean we, you know, didn't feel forgotten at times, because we did. But it didn't mean also that our problems disappeared, because they didn't. But I can tell you one thing, his presence was with us. And we would cry out to God because we didn't have any answers. We were like, what's going on? What does this mean? But because of all our history with the Lord and our people's history with the Lord, drawn upon by Dave's family, drawn upon by my family, it gave us no reason not to trust him. You know, we had surrendered our lives and we didn't have any answers ourselves. But you know what? When we quietly trusted, we quietly surrendered to his Lordship, God provided just amazingly for us in every way. And we know now that Dave is able to laugh freely. Praise God for that. We came out to the other side. Yeah? There is a high probability that most of us will endure really challenging situations in our life that push us to the brink of ourselves. But where have we built our response upon? Is it on the Lord? Have we surrendered it to the Lordship of Jesus? You know, Galatians 2:20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lordship is understanding who Jesus is in light of his life, his death and resurrection, and a growing intimacy in our relationship with him. And as a result, understanding it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Just like David in Psalm 23, acknowledging that he was a sheep in need of a shepherd, living a life marked by obedience to him. This is a crucial part of our identity as believers. We do not make ourselves, so we don't know ourselves best. We don't know what we need. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what our future holds, but He does. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.